Let us continue to worship God by giving our attention to His holy word as it comes to us in Deuteronomy chapter 33 as we continue in our evening series in Deuteronomy. And as we consider this evening Moses' final blessing on the tribes of Israel, you might notice that much of it echoes Jacob's blessing, that is Israel's blessing on his sons, for whom these tribes are named and from whom they descended in Genesis 49, Jacob giving his blessing there to his sons. But here in Deuteronomy 33, we read these holy words, these words of blessing, of benediction, uttered by Moses, the servant of the Lord, the man of God. This is the blessing with which Moses, the man of God, blessed the people of Israel before his death. He said, "The Lord came from Sinai and dawned from Seir upon us. He shone forth from Mount Paran. He came from the 10,000s of holy ones with flaming fire at his right hand. Yes, he loved his people. All his holy ones were in his hand. So they followed in your steps, receiving direction from you, when Moses commanded us a law as a possession for the assembly of Jacob. Thus the Lord became king in Jeshurun, when the heads of the people were gathered, all the tribes of Israel together. Let Reuben live and not die, but let his men be few. And this he said of Judah, 'Hear, O Lord, the voice of Judah, and bring him into his people. With your hands contend for him, and be a help against his adversaries.' And of Levi he said, 'Give to Levi your Thummim and your Urim, to your godly one, whom you tested at Massah, with whom you quarreled at the waters of Meribah, who said of his father and mother, I regard them not. He disowned his brothers and ignored his children, for they observed your word and kept your covenant. They shall teach Jacob your rules and Israel your law. They shall put incense before you and whole burnt offerings on your altar. Bless, O Lord, his substance and accept the work of his hands. Crush the loins of his adversaries and those who hate him, that they rise not again.' Of Benjamin, he said, 'The beloved of the Lord dwells in safety. The high God surrounds him all day long and dwells between his shoulders.' And of Joseph, he said, 'Blessed by the Lord be his land, with the choicest gifts of heaven above, and of the deep that crouches beneath, with the choicest fruits of the sun and the rich yield of the months, with the finest produce of the ancient mountains and the abundance of the everlasting hills, with the best gifts of the earth and its fullness, and the favor of him who dwells in the bush. May these rest on the head of Joseph, on the pate, the head of him who is prince among his brothers. A firstborn bull, he has majesty, and his horns are the horns of a wild ox. With them he shall gore the peoples, all of them, to the ends of the earth. They are the 10,000s of Ephraim, and they are the thousands of Manasseh.' And of Zebulun, Moses said, 'Rejoice, Zebulun, in your going out, and Issachar, in your tents. They shall call peoples to their mountain. There they offer right sacrifices, for they draw from the abundance of the seas and the hidden treasures of the sand.' And of Gad, Moses said, 'Blessed be he who enlarges Gad. Gad crouches like a lion. He tears off arm and scalp. He chose the best of the land for himself, for there a commander's portion was reserved. And he came with the heads of the people. With Israel he executed the justice of the Lord and his judgments for Israel. And of Dan, he said, 'Dan is a lion's cub that leaps from Bashan. And of Naphtali he said, O Naphtali, sated or satisfied with favor and full of the blessing of the Lord, possess the lake and the south. And of Asher he said, Most blessed of sons be Asher. Let him be the favorite of his brothers, and let him dip his foot in oil. Your bars shall be iron and bronze, and as your day, so shall your strength be. There is none like God, O Jeshurun, who rides through the heavens to your help, through the skies in his majesty. The eternal God is your dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he thrust out the enemy before you and said, Destroyer. So Israel lived in safety. Jacob lived alone in a land of grain and wine, whose heavens dropped down dew. Happy are you, O Israel. Who is like you? A people saved by the Lord, the shield of your help and the sword of your triumph. Your enemies shall come fawning to you, and you shall tread upon their backs. So far, the reading of God's holy word. To his name be praise and glory. Let's look to him once again in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for these words of blessing. We pray that this night you would breathe upon us an evening blessing by your Spirit and speak to us from your word afresh, that we, even through these holy words uttered by Moses, and to the eternal blessings to which they point, that we may hear and receive your tidings of comfort and joy in Christ, your Son, in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, the Gospel Transformation Study Bible, of which I am a fan, I'm not getting any kickbacks or anything, I promise, but it's pretty good. It's pretty good, as is the ESV Study Bible. Recommend them both. Those would be good, I would say stocking stuffers, but I'm not sure they're going to fit in a stocking. Might be good under the tree. ESV Study Bible, ESV Transformation, Gospel Transformation Bible. It insightfully notes the following about our passage this evening. It says this: Moses' final words, recorded in the next to the last chapter of Deuteronomy, were not words of judgment, but of blessing. The words bless, blessed, or blessing occur 7 times in this passage. Then it notes, Jacob's final words in the next to last chapter of the book of Genesis were also not words of judgment, but of blessing. Thus, the first book and the last book of the Pentateuch, first 5 books of the Bible, end with blessing. The gospel ends with blessing, as Jesus, his very last action before his ascension, was not to judge, but to bless his disciples. Luke 24, verses 50 and 51. All of these final blessings are a reflection of the very first thing God did after creating the human race. He blessed them. Genesis 1:28. Deuteronomy 33, therefore, reflects the heart of God revealed throughout the scriptures from beginning to end. The God of the scriptures is a God of blessing. Isn't that wonderful? So this evening, what I want us to consider is the blessings that God bestowed on the Israelites through Moses here in Deuteronomy 33. And then I want us to compare those blessings with the blessings that God has bestowed on us through his eternal Son. And what I want to highlight is that the blessings bestowed through Moses on ancient Israel, as amazing as they were primarily temporal. They were transitory. They were momentary. They were fleeting, as amazing as they were. Whereas the blessings that God has bestowed on us through Christ, as we confessed earlier from the Heidelberg Catechism, are eternal. Eternal blessings for us who are in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, in the first place this evening, the blessings that God bestowed upon the tribes of ancient Israel through Moses, the servant of the Lord, the man of God. After recounting the way that God had revealed himself from Sinai as he gave the law through Moses to his people, and how the Lord had faithfully loved his people. I mean, when you study the Pentateuch, you see the major theme, one of the major themes is the faithfulness of God to his word, to his covenant, to his people. He had faithfully loved his people, and Moses, the servant of the Lord, the mouthpiece of the Lord, was constantly reminding God's people of God's faithfulness to him. He did it again here, his faithful love for his people. And how God would continue to reign as king in their midst. After that, Moses pronounced blessings on the tribes of Israel. Now, you may have noticed, those who are very astute amongst us this evening, you may have noticed that Simeon is not specifically mentioned here, and that's probably because Simeon was later enveloped into the tribe of Judah, and so the blessings that are spoken of here relative to Judah are, in some sense anyway, bestowed upon Simeon as well. But the other tribes are mentioned by name and blessed by Moses here. You notice that Reuben was the first mentioned because he was the oldest of Jacob's son. Reuben, not just a sandwich, but an actual human being, the first of Jacob's sons. Verse 6 is a little difficult to translate. The ESV says, "Let Reuben live and not die, but let his men be few." Almost every other translation translates it something like this: "Let Reuben live and not die, nor let his people be few," or "even though his people are few." The reason for that is because the word that the ESV translates as "but," and that the other translations translate as "nor" or "though," well, that's not in the Hebrew. So there's a bit of interpretation going on here relative to the translation. But the bottom line is that Moses was blessing the tribe of Reuben with longevity on the earth. Longevity on the earth. In other words, may the name of Reuben, the clan of Reuben, remain on the earth for a long time. That was the blessing upon the tribe of Reuben. Then Moses blessed Judah in verse 7 with answers to prayer. That's pretty amazing. You're going to see answers to prayer. I was thinking about that as we were praying with Josh, as Josh was praying on our behalf. And I was thinking as he was praying for these governmental officials that God would draw near to them, that God would change their hearts if they don't know him. And I was thinking, wow, wouldn't that be something if God was at work in the unseen world, even as we were praying here tonight, this little old assembly, if God was changing the heart of a federal official, a federal office holder, or a state office holder, or a local office holder, as we were praying for them tonight. Don't disregard the power of prayer. And the blessing that Moses bestowed specifically on Judah, the first one was that you're going to see answers to prayer. Isn't that amazing? You're going to see answers to prayer. But then he also bestowed upon them military victories. That's pretty good too. Military victories by the hand of the Lord. And so Judah is going to prosper politically, militarily. You remember that Jacob had said of Judah in Genesis 49, "The scepter will not depart from Judah." And of course, it was through Judah that the kings of Israel were given: David, Solomon, and ultimately the lion of the tribe of Judah, Christ Jesus, our eternal king. In verses 8 through 11, Moses blessed the priestly tribe of Levi. He spoke of their Thummim and Urim, something you probably don't speak about very much, which were probably, there's a great debate over, I'm sure there's been PhD dissertations written on what were the Thummim and Urim. Well, what were they? Well, most people believe they were two stones that were used by the priests to discern God's will, sort of like casting lots. Two stones that were somehow used to discern God's will. And so God was going to use those through the Levites to bless God's people. Moses also spoke of Israel's past failure, but called on God to bless the Levites in the future. Make them faithful as they taught Israel God's law and made sacrifices, very important, on their behalf. And Moses blessed Levi with protection from those who would seek to destroy them. In verse 12, Moses blessed Benjamin with physical safety from the hand of God. In verses 13 through 17, Moses blessed Joseph with choice fruits, bountiful harvest, the finest produce, and military victories. In verse 16, Moses spoke of them experiencing the favor of him who dwells in the bush. That's an interesting phrase, isn't it? The favor of him who dwells in the bush. Who's that? God. Exodus 3, where God appeared to Moses and spoke to Moses from the burning bush. So here we have another title for Almighty God. Him who dwells in the bush. In verses 18 through 19, Moses blessed Zebulun and Issachar with right worship in their midst. The right administration of the sacrifices in their midst. And, get this, with the abundance of the seas. Those two tribes settled near the Sea of Galilee and enjoyed the abundance of it. It's one of the advantages of living near water, right? You get to enjoy the abundance of the sea or the water. In verses 20 and 21, Moses blessed Gad with military might and the finest land. In verse 22, Moses blessed Dan with much the same and foretold their migration from the south to the northern region of Bashan. Then he blessed Naphtali that they would be satisfied with God's favor, possessing the lake. Again, that's another reference to the Sea of Galilee. The tribe of Naphtali essentially had ownership, if you will, of the Sea of Galilee or part of it. And they were able to enjoy the fruit of it. And finally, in verse 24, he blessed Asher, which means happy one. A form of that word is used later in verse 29 when Moses blessed all Israel and said, "Happy," or "Asher, are you, O Israel?" But the clan of Asher he blessed with great wealth. How did he symbolize that wealth? The dipping of the foot in olive oil. Olive oil always represents often represents great riches. Sometimes the anointing with oil represents the Holy Spirit, but as a commodity, it represented great wealth. And he blessed Asher with military strength. So through Moses, God pronounced these amazing blessings, these enviable blessings. I mean, this is the envy of all the nations of the world. This is what every nation desires, these kinds of blessings. Through Moses, God blessed Israel, which had been an oppressed nation in slavery, had been just a person, a family, and then they grew, and then they're oppressed, and God delivers them from slavery, brings them through the wilderness, and now through Moses, God is blessing them with these blessings that were the envy of the world. these blessings that Jacob called in Genesis 49:20 royal delicacies, or food fit for kings, as one translation puts it, or as the King James put it, royal dainties. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Royal dainties. But what do we notice about these royal dainties? They were temporal, weren't they? By and large, they were temporal blessings. We have a better mediator than Moses, namely Jesus. We're part of a better covenant, namely the covenant in Jesus' blood. And thus we have eternal royal dainties. We have eternal blessings fit for a king. They are for a king, King Jesus. But we are joint heirs with him through faith. I mean, it's the kind of thing we really ought to be pinching ourselves all the time. Like, is this for real? The blessings that God has bestowed upon us in his Son. You know, David said in Psalm 16, the lines, that means the lines of boundaries, the boundary lines. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a beautiful inheritance. Friend, you and I ought to be saying that every day. Only with greater blessings than David himself knew in his day. And that's our second point, God's blessings to us in the Son of David, the King of Israel, our King, King of the nations, Christ Jesus, our Lord. Again, who wouldn't want familial longevity, military victories, physical safety, material wealth, fine food and drink, and other royal delicacies? Those were and continue to be blessings that God chooses to bestow. And when he does, we ought to give him great thanks for them. We sang earlier about being grateful for every blessing that comes to us from Jesus. But again, those blessings that Moses pronounced on Israel were transient. Even the blessings concerning the Levites. Did you notice that? Even the blessings concerning the Levites, the Thummim and Urim, and all the sacrifices that the Levites were to make, all those things were temporary. All those things were but for a time. They were abolished, done away with completely with the coming of Christ. In Christ, then, we have far greater blessings than Moses pronounced on the tribes of Israel. The eternality of our blessings were intimated as Moses spoke of the eternality of God and spoke of the eternal God as Israel's ultimate dwelling place and Israel living under the everlasting arms of the everlasting God. But these specific blessings that Moses bestowed were, in fact, temporal. In Christ, we have far greater blessings than these. As we heard in our call to worship from Ephesians 1:3, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ has blessed us in Christ. What does that mean? Has blessed us in Christ. In other words, we don't deserve these blessings. We deserve God's curses that we've read about in Deuteronomy. But Christ became a curse for us. Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Christ became that curse for us that we might not receive God's malediction, but his benediction, his eternal blessing. So by faith, we are in Christ. So all the blessings that he deserves and all the blessings that he receives from God the Father, we receive through him. God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ, in the heavenly places, not in the temporal realm, but in the heavenly, that is, in the eternal realm. Not blessings that are here one moment and gone the next, but rather blessings in the eternal Christ that last forever. I remember, don't you, as a child, sometimes we experience this as adults too, but hopefully, you know, over time we kind of start to learn our lessons. But as a child, I can distinctly remember a sense of this fact, that God has set eternity in our hearts. And I remember pining for this or that gift at Christmas time, and I get it. And Christmas morning, I'm excited. By Christmas Day afternoon, I'm kind of depressed, because this thing that I had so wanted had not quite met my expectations. It had not filled the God-shaped hole in my soul. And even as a little boy, I remember that. I remember that as an eighth grader. I was on the eighth grade basketball team, and I worked so hard. It was the seventh and eighth grade basketball team. Seventh grade year, I sat on the bench the whole time. And I made it my number one goal in life to be a starter on the seventh and eighth grade basketball team. And I worked and worked and worked and worked. And at the awards banquet at the end of the year, I got the MVP. And I sat there with that trophy, and I was miserable. Because I had thought that was going to fill my soul. And it was nothing but a mess of pottage. Only God can satisfy our souls. Only His eternal blessings can satisfy our souls. Nothing in this creation can satisfy our eternal souls. So the blessings He bestows upon us in Christ last forever, as we talked about earlier from the Heidelberg Catechism, the forgiveness of sins, eternal fellowship with God, adoption into God's family forever, a new body. And so when we think about that, we think, okay, well, so these are spiritual and not physical blessings. No, something can be physical and eternal, because we're going to have physical bodies when Christ comes again that will last forever, just like His. And we will dwell in a new land, a new Eretz, the new earth forever, in the company of all God's people and in the perfect fellowship and enjoyment of them and our God. Our New Testament reading from the Beatitudes, or happy words, or words of blessing pronounced by Christ, said the same thing. When you compare the blessings of Christ there with the blessings of Moses, which He bestowed upon Israel in Deuteronomy 33, you are reminded of the vast, the infinite superiority of Christ to Moses, and of what Christ came to do and to bestow upon us. The kingdoms of this world, which come and go, they may belong to the rich and powerful, but the kingdom of heaven, which lasts forever, belongs to whom? To those who are poor in spirit, those who recognize their spiritual poverty and entrust themselves by faith to God's Son. Those who mourn their sins are blessed, not so much with the temporal comforts of this world, but rather the eternal comfort of God's gospel and of the forgiveness of sins and of the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. Those who are meek inherit not a land that will change hands and over which will be fought many wars, one taking it and another taking it from them, and which will one day be destroyed. Not that land. They are blessed by inheriting a new earth that will last forever. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness rather than lusting after the things of this world are blessed with true satisfaction, the satisfaction of their soul in God forever. Those who show mercy will be blessed. They will be happy because they will receive it, that priceless treasure. Those who are pure in heart by grace, they will be blessed to see God. Those who do not fight over stuff, but who rather seek to make peace between those who do, they will be blessed as sons of God. And those who are persecuted, ironically, Jesus says, will be blessed with great reward in heaven, that their persecutors, unless they repent, will never, ever know. The blessings of Christ far outweigh the temporal blessings of Moses. The eternal blessings we have in Jesus far outweigh the royal dainties of this world. Royal dainties. Sounds like Turkish delight, you know, in Narnia. Have you ever had Turkish delight? I thought, well, we've got to get, we got to get there. We got some Turkish delight. I didn't like it very much. It's like the things of this world. Not all they're cracked up to be. So let's remember that in this season, in this amazing season, my favorite season of the year, a season when we can get caught up in the dainties of this world, pining after them, the things of this world. Let us set our affection, our misplaced affection, let us replace it. Let us place it on Christ. May we focus on the true King and His eternal kingdom and the eternal blessings that are ours in Him. And let us share Him with the world. Let's don't hold back. Let's share the eternal King and the eternal blessings that are in Him. Let us share Him with the world. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.